Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today, we are looking at a guide on industrial electrical fundamentals and circuit analysis principles.
Which, I mean, sounds like a really dry title for what is actually a pretty wild topic.
Right, exactly. So our mission today is to kind of bypass all that pure equation memorization and just, you know, connect the math directly to physical effects.
Yeah, to really turn those invisible forces into actual aha moments for you.
So a great place to start is just basic voltage and current. And I always picture this with the classic water pipe analogy.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic for a reason.
Like, voltage is the water pressure, right?
Right.
And the current is the actual flow of the water. And resistance is just how wide the pipe is.
Exactly. But here is where it gets super counterintuitive. If you wire a massive new machine into a factory grid, you would logically think you're adding more resistance to the system.
Because it's this giant block of metal and coils, right?
Right. But under Ohm's law and a parallel circuit, adding more electrical loads actually lowers the total resistance.
Wait, it lowers it?
Yeah, because going back to your analogy, it's like you're opening up a second pipe.
Oh, right. The water just has more paths to take.
Exactly. So the overall resistance drops, which forces the grid to pump out drastically more current just to keep everything from collapsing.
That is wild. But the source material explicitly points out that this whole water pipe analogy completely falls apart eventually, right?
Yeah, it's a great starter kit for simple direct current, or DC. But the second we step into a modern factory running on alternating current, or AC, it just fails. Water flowing in one direction can't explain, like, AC phase behavior or magnetic fields.
Because in AC system, the power isn't flowing continuously like a river. It's pulsating.
Precisely. In a standard single-phase AC system, the voltage actually drops to absolute zero twice during every single cycle.
So the power literally vanishes.
100 times a second. So if you're running a massive industrial induction motor, you just cannot have the power cutting out like that. The machine would stall under the heavy load.
So I'm guessing this is why industrial sites bother with all the crazy wiring for three-phase AC power, like those big 400-volt European systems.
Exactly. They don't just use bigger wires. They literally overlap three separate AC waveforms.
Oh, so as one wave drops down towards zero, another one is just hitting its peak.
Right, which creates this smooth, constant, rotating magnetic field. It is absolutely essential for starting and running heavy motors efficiently without that violent physical stutter.
But there's a huge catch with those induction motors, isn't there? Because they introduce this expensive problem called inductive reactance.
Yeah, the lagging power factor.
Yeah.
It's, well, think of it like pushing someone on a swing at the completely wrong time.
So the voltage and the current are physically falling out of sync.
Right. And that lag creates what we call reactive power. The motor draws energy to build its magnetic fields, but that energy doesn't do any useful physical work.
It just bounces back and forth between the motor and the grid.
Exactly. Which forces the utility to supply a much higher total current, or apparent power, just to get the actual work done.
And utility companies definitely do not let that slide. I mean, they monitor factory power grids.
Yeah.
And if your motors are wildly out of sync,
they will hit you with severe financial penalties.
Wow.
They have to, honestly. Because that extra bouncing current is actively heating up their cables and overloading transformers for literally zero productive output.
And speaking of heating up cables, that brings us to what's happening inside the physical wires themselves. Because we look at a blueprint and think of a wire as this perfect, flawless bridge.
But in reality, every inch of that wire acts as a small series impedance.
Right, so it inherently resists the flow and turns a little bit of that lost power into heat across long distances. It's a literal voltage drop.
Which means engineers have to carefully calculate cable sizes for the power lost as heat, not just what the machine needs. Hmm. But there's another final surprise about AC power here.
Okay, lay it on me.
When an engineer says the supply is 230 volts AC, that is merely the RMS value.
The root mean square, right.
Yeah.
That's just the equivalent DC heating effect, like the average useful work.
Correct. But an AC wave is a sine wave with peaks and valleys. So to average out to 230 volts of useful work, the actual physical peak of that wave has to spike much higher.
Wait, how much higher?
It surges to roughly 325 volts.
You're kidding. So a standard 230-volt line is actually hitting 325 volts.
Every single cycle. That peak is the real number the insulation must be designed to survive.
Okay, that completely changes how I look at just a basic power cable. I mean, we usually think of electricity as this smooth, steady utility, but it's really a constant, violent balancing act.
It really is.
So to everyone listening, consider this before we wrap up. Since every single wire acts as an impedance and those AC waveforms are constantly surging way higher than their stated ratings, just think about the sheer amount of invisible reactive energy secretly pulsating through the walls around you right now, silently battling the cables. It's wild to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.